Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. When Congress passed the National Defense Authorization Act in December, one provision allowed for a land swap in Arizona, Oak Flat, in the Tonto National Forest. To the San Carlos Apache, the land is sacred. To Resolution Copper, it's a lucrative copper mine. With the Defense Act, it now belongs to Resolution Copper. Stay with us as we talk about the battle between development and the sacred, right after National Native News.
For National Native News, I'm Tristan Ottone, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. Native women from across the country are leading their tribes in the business world. Many female business leaders and tribal chairs are gathered in Las Vegas for the National Reservation Economic Summit. Our news team spoke with a handful of attendees about the role women play.
I am Julie Joins. Business has still always been a man's world, so it is still difficult, even in Indian country, for the women to get recognized and to find the right opportunities. But I think we have good leaders that are trying to make that change. I know that our former tribe leader, Wilma Mankiller, for the Cherokee Nation, she was very instrumental in trying to get the women more recognized in business and leadership roles.
Lorelei Cloud. I think recognizing women in business roles is very important because women are, we're coming up in a world and we're becoming more leaders. There's very few of us and far between, and I think the ones that have done it previously have opened the doors for the rest of us to come into that and to shine and to show women are strong.
My name is Gertrude Brown. Being a new council member, being a woman and being young has been all my challenges that I have faced since I've been on council. I am one of the younger ones on our council. I'm the youngest that's been the chairwoman, the first chairwoman of our own Valley Board of Trustees. As a young person, you want to be respectful to your elders, but at the same time, it's having to balance being respectful, honoring them, but also realizing, too, that I wear a different hat as a chairwoman, you know, and having that authority. So it's been a hard time trying to balance that.
My name is Michelle Hicks, Principal Chief of the Eastern Band of the Cherokee Nation. My wife is an entrepreneur. She has an ice cream shop in Cherokee, and I think that as you look at, you know, the opportunities for men, the opportunity is just as equal for women. Of course, society don't always look at it that way, but, you know, there's a lot of smart women out there that, you know, if they've got the capital, they definitely have good ideas, and they definitely have the initiative that if the tribe can help them with resources, then I think you'll see more women, you know, step in and be successful.
One Native woman at the Res 2015 conference recently took a leadership role. Antonia Gonzalez has more.
Clara Pratt is Senior Vice President of the Nova Corporation, which is an IT services provider. Pratt says she stepped into the role with some goals to do more work on economic development, building capacity, and building successful businesses in Indian country. She says growing up, there were not a lot of Native women in business she got to see compared to other professions like those in the legal field or politics. And she says there's a need to increase numbers in the business world.
When you cut out half the population from a career, you're cutting out half of the good ideas and half of the capacity and half of all these important things. And I think, you know, we bring a different perspective a lot of times to the table. And we've seen that in politics. We've seen it in a variety of different career choices, but also, you know, for the future, to show younger people that there are career options out there that they may not have thought about.
Pratt's career has included working in federal and tribal governments, and her advice to other women is to support each other and not to cut yourself out of any potential career goal.
I don't agree with the notion that you cannot do it all. You know, I hear this thought a lot, well, you have to choose between a career and family, right? And I think that's a struggle that not just Native women face, but I think women who've chosen to be in a professional environment and who have focused on their career, you get this sort of message that you can't do it all. I think you can. I think certain times maybe you're a better mom than you are running your business, and sometimes you're maybe not the best because you couldn't make that soccer game or what have you. But those are choices that, you know, men have had to do for years.
Pratt was named to the leadership role at Nova more than a month ago. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
For National Native News, I'm Tristan Ottone.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. You may have heard lately about a land swap in Arizona, land considered sacred to the San Carlos Apache, and if mined, land that could supply up to 25% of the nation's copper demand. The land swap stems from the National Defense Authorization Act passed by Congress in December, which allows Resolution Copper, a subsidiary of the multinational mining company Rio Tinto, to trade about 8 miles of land they currently own with 4 miles of land in the Tonto National Forest. It includes Oak Flat, an area at the center of the controversy. And this hour, we'll hear about the conflict between America's need for copper and Indian country's hope to preserve ancestral land. And you can join the conversation by calling 1-800-996-2848. And we want to hear what you think. Is development of natural resources good for tribes? Is protecting the sacred more important than the economy? Also, what kind of cultural and environmental impacts does it bring? You can call in and join the conversation. Our number is also 1-800-99-NATIVE, or you can comment on Twitter or Facebook. And we are joined today by Tara Ketchian, a San Carlos Apache tribal member and senior advisor to Native American Affairs with Resolution Copper. Welcome to Native America Calling, Tara.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Tara, we appreciate you being with us today. I also like to let our audience know we also asked the San Carlos Apache tribe to join us today. However, San Carlos officials declined our multiple requests to talk about Oat Flat here today. And again, we did put the word out to them, but they aren't with us today. If there are folks who are in the listening audience who also have a connection to this, you are more than welcome to call in and share your thoughts and give us a view of all of this. Again, phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. And Tara, let's go ahead and just dive in. After the National Defense Authorization Act was passed, the Department of Interior Secretary Sally Jewell said in a press release, quote, "I am profoundly disappointed with the Resolution Copper provision, which has no regard for lands considered sacred by nearby Indian tribes." The White House has expressed a similar sentiment. Tara, tell us a little bit more. What exactly is going on with Oak Flat, and why is there so much outcry?
Okay, well, let's just back up a bit. As you mentioned in the introduction, I'm from San Carlos. I'm an Apache, a member of San Carlos, and in customary in our culture is we introduce ourselves to our Native American brothers and sisters, and I'd like to identify myself through that way if I could do it just for a quick moment. Dagot era she tera kichion ginse, hai ahanchli, anat dishteen, baninchti, shima Kathy Wesley kichion goze, anat shita n'i, teri kichion senior goze n'it. Di istan ara shishla, danafala ahia e konoskaihi. What I just said is, my name is Tara Ketchian, I am of the Hai Aha clan, which is the Sunrise people, and born for the Dishteen, which is the Red Streak people. I am the daughter of former chairwoman Kathy Wesley Ketchian, who is of San Carlos, and the daughter of the late Terry Ketchian Sr. So to go back to your question, you had asked what is going on here in Superior, Arizona, is that there is an expansion of a mine called Resolution Copper, and it's about 4 miles east of Superior and about 44 miles west of San Carlos, Arizona. And in regards to Secretary Jewell's comments, I think that there have been consultation through, I guess how I would respond to it is that there have been acknowledgement from the sponsorships of this bill. There have been meetings within the community to reach out from Congress level to the community level. There have been many attempts to reach out to the San Carlos Apache tribe from both the sponsors of this bill and the company. And it's unfortunate that we have yet to have a seat at the table with them and discuss this project. But at the moment, that is where it stands. And I think that as a company, we remain respectful, and we await the time to have a seat at the table with them in this dialogue, because that is ever important.
And Tara, is there any surprise that there is opposition to this, or, you know, it kind of seems people are for or against this? Are you surprised that people are taking a stance like that?
No, I'm not, because, you know, in everything new to people in general, there's always concern and a little controversy. I think a wonderful explanation is that prior to coming on board with Resolution Copper, when I had this opportunity at my footstep, I did what I thought was best and sought out the approval of the elders within my family and the medicine people within my family. I come from a strong line of medicine people and traditional keepers of the Apache way of life, and it's not something that my family and I do seasonally. It's something that we do daily. We feel that, you know, this is not a religion, but it's a way of life. It's who we are as Apache people. And once I received their approval and blessing, they then advised me to seek out medicine people within the community and elders within the community of San Carlos that are highly sought out for a number of things. And I discuss this project. I discuss, you know, the opposition's concerns on a number of things. And what really solidified my coming on board was there was an elder who is a medicine person who said, you need to be the voice of our Apache people. You need to advocate. You were raised in this. You were brought up in the Apache way of life. And you yourself know that our sacred places of being are identified through song, prayer, and ceremony. We support you in this endeavor, and we want you to be the voice. We want you to be the voice of reason, not only to the company, but to the community as well, because there's a large group of individuals from the San Carlos community who are in support of this project.
All right. And Tara, we do appreciate you being here with us today. Also want to remind our listening audience today, we have opened up the phone lines, have seen a lot in the media, the coverage on Oak Flat and what it means to natives in the area. Also, congressional people speaking out, what it means to the state of Arizona. Today is your day to chime in. What do you think about this? We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And the more you hear about this, if this sounds like something your tribe has also faced in the past, what kind of advice would you like to give when it comes between development and what some people say is protecting sacred places? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Tara, I know we've made a reference to Oak Flat and the area being sacred to folks in the area. Can you tell me more? And of course, we definitely, you know, are asking this with respect that, you know, we're not asking for, you know, for you to break down ceremony, but, you know, why is this place so sacred?
A few individuals feel that this area is sacred to them because that is where they host the coming of age ceremony. It has just come up in recent years. There have been 3 ceremonies hosted there on the Oak Flat campground, and they have just recently, they meaning those that feel this area is sacred, have recently introduced one of the most private and sacred ceremonies known to the Apache people. And you know, just to touch base on that, as I've said earlier, is that in my teaching, I was not taught that this area was of sacred being. However, as I carry out my work, I make it known that, you know, I am respectful to their views, but I also understand my teachings, and I fall back on the teachings of the medicine people that have been with us since time immemorial.
All right. Thanks for that, Tara. I want to read you a quote. This came to us from San Carlos Tribal Chairman Terry Rambler, as told to KJZZ reporter Carrie Young. Quote, "We go to pray with the environment. That's our church. That's our connection. Our connection is to our Creator God with what He provided to us." Is that similar things that you've been told about the area, Tara?
Not about the area, no. Our sacred beings are identified through song, dance, and prayer. And in those teachings, I have never been taught that that place of he speaks of is not of sacredness.
All right. And Tara, you know, as we take a look at this and through our research, I had a question for you. Some folks are referring to the area as being important to Apache, and the word that really caught my eye is folklore. What do you think about that, that the world is analyzing what is or is not sacred and actually using the word folklore? As an Apache woman, how do you feel that reports say that what you believe in is folklore?
I think I would have to just go back to my teachings. It is really ingrained in you know, my teachings that this is a way of life. It's not as you have mentioned, you know, a way of religion. It's a way of life. It's who we are as a people, and I think that it's. I think a bit disappointing to hear individuals identify our way of life as a place of church or a way of religion.
All right. And that's coming from, you know, Congressman Paul Gozer's website. He is definitely somebody who stepped out in support of this. And today, if you just tuned in, we are taking a look at what is going on in Arizona, the issue of Oak Flat. On the line with us today is Tara Ketchion. She is a San Carlos Apache tribal member and also senior advisor to Native American Affairs with Resolution Copper. Also want to let you know, if you're wondering where is the tribe, we did put multiple requests out to the tribe to talk to a representative or have folks join us today, but they were declined. Again, if there's anybody in the listening audience who is connected to the tribe and would like to chime in and give perspective, you can. All you have to do is call 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And again, if this sounds like something similar to what your tribe has faced in the past, call in, tell us about it. What do you think? 1-800-996-2848. And Tara, we do appreciate you sharing about the sacred aspect of it. I'm also hearing that people are in support of this because it's going to bring economic benefits. Tell me more about what that means and what exactly it's bringing to maybe even tribal members.
Sure. This project is a wonderful project. It's going to bring 3,700 direct and indirect jobs. Our focus is not just on jobs, but community and human development. There's economic benefits for the region and an opportunity for partnership for the neighboring towns, procurement for local businesses, sustainable development with communities, and, of course, education. Like Native communities, this company believes in the seventh generation, and we believe in elevating the level of our people as a whole. And so it's not just about the jobs that we have spoken of, but it's about the community, the well-being of the community. And this is an opportunity, I think, for neighboring towns such as the San Carlos Apache Tribe, who remains to be in 70 to 75% unemployment rate, who have to deal with the social ills that are at a rampant high of methamphetamine, drug and alcohol abuse, social ills such as domestic violence. Those are the types of threats that we have to deal with and the ills that we have to face as a tribal community. And this is an opportunity to provide to individuals a way out of that lifestyle, to sustain themselves and financially and sufficiently. Because, as you know, if you employ one individual, then you sustain an entire family.
All right. Thanks for that, Tara. We got a caller on the line. Again, if you'd like to join us, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And when you hear about Oak Flat, are you worried something similar could happen in your tribe? Maybe you're even celebrating. Call us right now. All opinions are welcome. You can call us at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and bring in Ron in Flagstaff, Arizona, tuned in on KUYI. Ron, welcome to the hour. And what would you like to share?
I just wanted to share my opinion. And my opinion right now is that the conversation about the earth or any particular place on the earth being sacred, the part that seems to be missed in the conversation online now is there is the whole earth is sacred. Every single thing on this earth, every particle on this earth is sacred. And somehow we're missing that point. And to consider sacredness or employment over sacredness is so culturally deep that is way more important to a family than the money that would be provided by any job. The awareness of the earth and how valuable it is to us and how we must protect it now is coming forward from every culture and every way of life. And everybody has their own way of life, and all should respect the earth.
All right, Ron, great comment. We do appreciate you giving us a ring there in Flagstaff, Arizona. Share your thoughts, too, by calling 1-800-996-2848. Tara, any thoughts for our caller, Ron?
Yeah, I just want to thank him for that comment. And, I have to go back to my teachings, and that's what has brought me here today. You know, in my teachings it says, pretty sound and strong within our oral teachings, our songs, and our ceremonies. Our areas are identified, and as he mentioned, you know, our way of life and upbringing may be different, and I have to stay, as he is, you know, steadfast in his teachings, I am as well, and my teachings, you know, don't teach me that this place is an area of sacredness. However, I remain respectful to those who feel it is, and I think that there's an opportunity to come to middle ground and begin that dialogue.
All right. And Tara, you know, just, a little further with what Ron put on the table, is there any danger, you know, as tribal communities, people who connect to the land, by saying one part is sacred and saying one isn't? Do we get into any kind of, messy situations when we start doing that?
I, you know, our teachings have been with us since time immemorial, and I'm not the only individual who feels this way. Again, you know, our teachings are from time immemorial, and these teachings that I have been taught are not just with me, but with many individuals of the Apache tribe. And I think that I would have to continue to go back to that, that this is our teachings, our songs, and our sacred areas are identified through song, dance, and prayer. And I respect those individuals who feel otherwise. However, you know, this is identified. Our sacred areas as Apache people are identified through song, dance, and prayer. And since time immemorial, this place of land has not been identified as such.
All right. Thanks, Tara. We got another caller. Let's go ahead and bring in Michael in Jemez Pueblo, tuned in on KUNM. Michael, go ahead and share your thoughts.
Yeah, it's hard to say what this, you know, you can paint the picture, but you're only getting half of the picture, you know. And at the same time, you know, her argument, you hear this on around across the country and up in Canada and all in the indigenous land where one of their own is working for that company and, you know, and painting a pretty picture. But like I said, the picture is not whole unless we know what everyone in the tribe is saying. Maybe if she had recorded people, you know, we would hear voices. But, you know, it's just one side. It's very hard to really, you know, conjure up what she is actually, you know, about, and whether the whole tribe is on her side or what. You know, it's just hard to reckon.
All right, Michael, thank you for your call there in Jemez Pueblo. You can share your thoughts, too, by giving us a call, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. You can also reach out to us on Facebook, or you can send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And with us today, we have Tara Ketchian. She is sharing a little bit about what is going on in the area. Also want to let you know that we did reach out to the tribe for them to join us multiple times, but they declined the request. But there is still time left in the hour if you would like to join us. If there are any representatives in the area, we want to hear from you. We know the news has covered this extensively, not only in Arizona, but it is also making a buzz in the Beltway on Capitol Hill. Senators have weighed in on this. Have you heard anything about it? What do you think about some of the things that senators are saying? And what about it being added to the National Defense Authorization Act? Give us a call. All opinions and thoughts are welcome today. And if you are also relating what you're hearing to your own tribal community, give us a call. Even if something took place 20 years ago, how did things play out? Did you hear similar things that it would bring jobs to the area? We want to hear about it. Give us a call. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Tara will stay with us as we move into the second half. If you have any questions for her, maybe you've even had a chance to speak with her directly and you want to share some of what her words and her work means to your community, all you have to do is call us, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And if you have questions, too, you can ask those. Maybe something is down the pipeline and your tribe is about to enter into an agreement. You have questions on, you know, what are the things you should be asking or thinking about? You can ask those questions, too. Phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Crow musician Carrie Morin will be with us on the next Native America Calling. If you like the sounds of Memphis blues, you'll be at home with Carrie's style. Here's some of what he's bringing in his new album, Tiny Town.
If I had a way, I'd already be gone to a place where there's only one sea.
We hope you can join us for our March Music Maker with Carrie Morin.
Yeah. Support provided by the Tribal Telecom and Technology Conference, Weaving Pathways Across the Digital Divide, May 4th through the 7th, 2015, at the Hotel Albuquerque at Old Town, bringing together tribes and the telecom and technology industries to pursue solutions that advance digital opportunities for American Indian and Alaska Native communities. The annual Tribal Telecom Golf Classic will be held May 4th at the Isleta Eagle Golf Course. Info at tribaltelecomconference.com.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and you can also find us online at nativeamericacalling.com. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter. Our handle is 1-800-99-NATIVE, which is also the number to call into the hour. And today we are talking about Oak Flat, the controversial land swap made by Congress. And to some of the San Carlos Apache Nation, Oak Flat, located in the Tonto National Forest, is sacred and also known as an ancestral place to the Native community. To Resolution Copper, it's an opportunity to mine and supply an estimated 25% of the nation's copper needs. And to some, it's a battle between development and the sacred. For others, it's a logical step to providing much-needed jobs and revenue to tribal members and the state of Arizona. You can also join the conversation by calling 1-800-996-2848. We want to know, is the sacred more important than the economy? And is development of natural resources good for tribes? And do we know enough about the impacts to culture and the environment? You can call in to join the conversation or comment on Twitter or Facebook. And today we are joined by Tara Ketchion, a San Carlos Apache tribal member and a senior advisor to Native American Affairs with Resolution Copper. We also asked the San Carlos Apache tribe to provide a guest for today's show, but the tribe declined after our multiple requests. But again, phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Tara, I also wanted to hear, earlier you mentioned that there is a potential of jobs. Where does that figure come from? You know, how do they know how many jobs it's going to bring? And also, are those guaranteed?
Yeah, those are jobs that are indirect and direct. And that stemmed from, that number stemmed from Elliot Pollock. He is an individual, a well-known individual in Arizona, and is he's most respected, highly respected in his field. And he did a fact study on the economic benefits, where you will see the $64.1 billion economic benefits over the life of the mine, and then the 3,700 jobs that it'll bring direct and indirectly. But I kind of wanted to back up just a little bit to kind of add a comment to, before we went on break, to Michael's comments about how the community may feel. And prior to coming on board with Resolution Copper, I was in the process, a bit worried of how the I think the approach will be to the tribal community and how their response will be to me. And I can proudly say that it has been great. It has been wonderful. I speak with the community members on a daily basis of an age range, individuals in high school, college level, the middle age, and the adults, the elderly. I speak with them on a regular basis, and I get a fairly wonderful, positive response from them and who are in support of this wonderful project, because to them, you know, they too are steadfast in their cultural teachings, but also to them, this is 40 plus years of economic benefits. This is 40 plus years of jobs. This is 40 plus years of climbing out of the social ills that we currently deal with on a day-to-day basis in the tribal communities. This is 40 plus years of educational opportunities as well. So I wanted to respond to him, and I thank him for that comment and for bringing up those views.
All right, thanks, Tara. We're going to the phone lines again. Join us, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and bring in Kathy in Las Vegas, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Kathy, what do you got on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to speak to this. I actually lived in San Carlos back in 1992, and it's a beautiful, beautiful reservation, and I just heard this morning that in Arizona there's a copper mine where they're laying off people because the decline in need for copper. And having lived in Arizona, seen these copper mines, they're huge and they're very, very destructive to the environment. And I think we have to really look at decreasing our need for resources and how we live our lives, because this is just always going to be more, more, more issues of taking out of the earth and just leaving huge places where it's been totally wiped out. These copper mines are just, this one in Arizona is 2 miles wide. That's, I don't know. We have to figure this out in a different way. And I really commend you, Tara. You're a really strong woman that is fighting for her lands.
All right. Thank you for your call, Kathy. Tara, anything you want to add?
I think I'd like to just give maybe a view of a shot at a view of what the area is like. So, between San Carlos and Superior, there are about 4 mines that are in production. There's about over 100 mines that are closed. Mining is not new to the area. It has been here since over a decade. And this is an expansion of an old mine. And, she speaks about the copper prices, and our production is not dependent on the copper price. So, just in response to her comments, and I want to thank her for her views. I truly appreciate.
And Tara, as we hear, I also heard the report that came out of NPR today, talking about the cost of copper going down. If there isn't a demand, what will happen, with what is being pulled out of the ground? Any thoughts on that, of if there's nobody there to buy it?
I think that, you have to understand that there will be a demand for copper. Copper is in everything, our phones, our TVs, and renewable energy is the new sexy thing these days. And so that is something that, copper is needed in that. And I think that to that effect, we have to keep in mind that copper is something that is in great demand and will always be in demand.
And Tara, can you tell us more about the copper that's going to be mined, where it will go exactly? Will it remain in the U.S.?
Well, can you repeat that? Let me make sure I'm understanding you correctly.
Sure. The copper that's coming out of the ground connected to Oak Flat, will it remain in the U.S.?
Well, we have, there's a great opportunity. In Arizona, there are 2 smelters. And in the U.S., there is one smelter, and I think that when we extract the copper, there's opportunity to tap into the smelters that are in Arizona and that are in Utah and that are on the open market as well.
And Tara, you know, is it important for you, you know, if this copper is coming out of, U.S. soil, tribal land, is it important for you that it stays in the U.S.? Does it matter?
I think, point of correction, the where the ore body is not on tribal land. It's currently on federal land. And I think that for me, what is important is the opportunity that it brings. 40-plus years of economic benefit, of an elevation of business procurement, 40-plus years of sustainable livelihoods, 40-plus years of, sustainable living. And I think that for me, that is what is important. And this is an area that is local to the people in the region and local to community individuals. And I think that for me, it is important that it's local because I have an opportunity to keep the tradition alive by being close to home, participating on a daily basis with our ceremonies. And, whereas when I was at my previous employment, which was out of the state, I was always having to fly home on occasion, whereas while I'm here in the local area, I can participate and continue to uplift my culture on a daily basis.
All right, Tara, we got another caller. Again, if you'd like to join us, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. If there are any folks from the San Carlos Apache Nation in our listening audience today, feel free to also chime in. We know there are many people in the community. What do you think? What are you witnessing? What are people saying? Call us right now. 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and bring in a caller. We have Sandra on the line in San Carlos, Arizona. She's tuned in online. Sandra, what would you like to share?
Yes, my name is Sandra Rambler, and I'm a former tribal secretary, having served under five tribal different administrations. I'm a tribal elder now, and I'm also an Apache traditionalist. And I'm highly offended as to speaking about the copper ore. There's so many areas to cover, but I will tell you that the copper that will be extracted is going to be going to Australia, to the foreign company BHP and Rio Tinto. They're foreign mining giants, and I can't believe that Congress, gave away sacred and holy land to the Apaches, and they're privatizing it, and it will be going to Australia. And then Australia, they're like partners with Iran and Iraq, so that's where the copper is going. And what if they turn that into weapons and, come back to the United States with that? That's another real serious factor that's going to affect every American in the United States. And talking about the water as well, we're really concerned about the water because the size of the mine is going to be the size of the Empire State Building, the Statue of Liberty. It's going to be so deep and it's going to be so hot that there's not going to be able, there's no way humans can be down there working. So they're going to use robots to be able to electronically mine that mine. And on top of that, they're going to need 6 billion gallons of water to mine that. And where's the water coming from? Arizona is dry.
And Sandra, hold tight. I want to go ahead and give Tara a moment to respond. I got more questions for you, Sandra. Hang out. Go ahead, Tara. Any thoughts?
Yeah, she talks about the copper going out of country into different areas, and at the moment it's too early to say something as such. The market will decide that, and given that we're not currently in production, it's unfair to say that it's going out of country into different areas of the world. And USA has a great need for this. And, my comment to that is we'll let the market decide where it goes.
And anything to her concerns over the water?
Yeah, the company has about 67 to 70%. They've obtained 67 to 70% water for the life of the mine through the Central Arizona Project. And you know, we've already begun the stages in that sense. And this is a world-class mine with the best engineers, with the best, you know, hydrologists, geologists, and the way mining was done years ago is not the way it can be conducted today. And I think that, you know, I thank you for her comments, and I thank her for her comments, because I think it's a joy to have this opportunity to speak with her. I've been trying to reach out to her on a number of levels, and this is amazing. Thank you for coming on the call, Sandra.
And Sandra, I want to turn it back to you. We also earlier talked about the sacredness of the area. Tara shared through her teachings. She knows opposite of what some of the opposition is saying about, you know, the sacredness of this place. Anything you want to weigh in on when we talk about Oak Flat and its connection to tradition and culture?
How can anyone sleep at night knowing that they're going to disturb Mother Earth and rape her? I have a great-great-grandmother, Bessie Patchouli, that's buried there in Oak Flat. And her body is going to be desecrated through this mine, and I'm highly offended about that. Not only that, my granddaughter's sunrise dance was held there last October. And, you know, there are sacred items that are there. And does that not mean anything to her? We've been occupying Oak Flat, and we're still occupying, you know, the area now. We're having holy ground ceremonies. We have the medicine men coming out. We have people from all over the world that came to join us, all over, you know, all these indigenous people as well as our Apache people. And we're just like, it's like taking the guts out of my stomach and just ripping it out. And, you can't sleep at night doing that. And it makes me really, really upset, because my granddaughter's dad was there. My great-great-grandmother is buried there. Does that not mean anything to her? These are, you know, things that belong to us. It's our ancestral land. This is where we live. This is where we dwell. This is where our people are. You can hear the drums when you're out there praying. You can hear the bells of the crown dancers, Apache Mountain Spirit dancers. You can hear them. And, you know, the eagle flies over you when you're there and you're praying. The hummingbirds are right there. And that's where we get our acorn. We pick our acorn there, our elders. That's their land. They go there and they just love to hang out.
And Sandra, I do appreciate you sharing with us. Sandra, I do appreciate you sharing with us. And I'm hearing the passion in your voice and those kind of connections. And that's why we wanted to do this show today, so that we could hear all opinions. I do want to remind folks that we did reach out to representatives from the San Carlos Apache Nation, but they were declined. We just heard from another Apache Nation member there, Sandra. And, you know, hearing more about this and how people are connecting to it, you know, it leads us into many different conversations, too, throughout the year. We are getting ready to wrap up our hour here. If there is still more you would like to share on this, you can always reach out to us. Send us an email, comments@nativeamericacalling.com. And, you know, if there's anything you want to share, you can reach out to us. We want to take one more call. We have Dean in Standing Rock, South Dakota, tuned in on KLND. Dean, any thoughts? And please make it quick.
Yes, ma'am. I was just calling in support of the people who are trying to protect the sacred area, the area that they consider sacred. And I wanted to thank them for their efforts and their courage in standing up for that. You know, there's the whole land is sacred. All of our land is sacred. And the way that I was taught and coming to understand is we're caretakers of it. And, you know, once the companies come in there and take out what they need, you know, what are they going to leave behind? And it won't be the same. And it brought to mind up in around Newtown area, the oil companies up there, you know, once they're done with it and they leave, that is never going to be the same again. So I would encourage everybody to think about that. Once it's done, there's no turning back. You can't go back and start over. You know, when it's done, and it's going to be gone forever.
All right, Dean, thank you for your call there in Standing Rock. Tara, we are wrapping up our segment, taking a look at Oak Flat. Any final comments that you'd like to leave us with, things people need to understand?
Yeah, I think that we have to remember that there's a process in place. We're going through the NEPA process at the moment, and we need to allow that to go through. And through that process, there is consultation. You know, there is opportunity for tribe to voice their opinions. But I think it's also important to note that the company remains steadfast and patient for the opportunity to come about to speak with tribal leadership. And, I'd like to remind our listeners that I am not the only Apache who feels this way. I'm not the only traditionalist who feels this way. There are many that come behind me. There are many that stand with me. And there are many that have walked this path before me. And they have given me their blessings, and they have given me their support to move this great opportunity, not just for tribes, but for the region as well. I'd like also for our listeners to have an opportunity to find out more about us. You can reach us at resolutioncopper.com, or please feel free to send us an email with your inquiries. We'd be happy to address them at info@resolutioncopper.com. Thank you again for this wonderful opportunity. I truly appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much for joining our conversation today. Tara Ketchion with Resolution Copper. Also, just want to remind folks that we did reach out to the San Carlos Apache Nation to join us today, but they declined multiple requests to talk about Oak Flat. Again, if there's something more you want to say, send us an email, comments@nativeamericacalling.com. And now we're going to go to RES 2015, which is the National Reservation Economic Summit. It's taking place in Las Vegas, Nevada. Yesterday, we heard from National Native News anchor Antonia Gonzalez, who is reporting from the event. She told us how Native professional and tribal leaders and others are discussing economic development and how to do business in Native America. Today, Antonia is on the floor of RES gathering at the trade show, which opened on Tuesday. Let's go ahead and welcome her into the hour. Welcome to Native America Calling. Antonia, you are connecting to Studio 49.
Hey, Tara. Great to be here. As you can hear in the background that there's picking up here at the trade show. It opened yesterday with a ribbon cutting ceremony, and there's hundreds of different exhibitors here, and it's an opportunity for tribal leaders, business leaders, and others who are here at the conference to learn about different companies, do some matchmaking. You have different industries, everything from food and beverage to coffee to all kinds of business with tribes. There's IT people. There's a bunch of different businesses that are here exhibiting. And right now I'm joined by Hoyt Bacon, who's with Native to Native, and he's a guide. He helps guide a lot of these tribes who are getting into businesses.
Hello, Hoyt. Welcome to Native America Calling, and it's a pleasure to connect to you to Studio 49 today. Hoyt, tell us more about the business you're into.
Well, certainly be happy to do that. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share. I work for Eastern Shawnee Tribal Enterprises, and we're growing the Eastern Shawnee economy in Oklahoma and across the United States. Our first offering is a tire offering, where we're working to put Indian country in the tire business. And if a tribe would like to either start a wholesale distribution or open a retail automotive service center that sells tires, we have the competency and background to help them do that. So we've entered agreements with tribes in Kansas and South Dakota. We're an Oklahoma-based tribe. Those are our first couple of forays. In addition to that, we found that as tribes open small businesses, or if they already have small businesses, they may need some HR help. They may need some help with staffing, with payroll, with HR management, handbooks, SOPs, you name it. We have that competency, and we can help in those areas as well, and that's a part of our segment of our business that's really growing.
And Hoyt, let me ask you this. What does it mean to you to be at gatherings such as Res, where other potential, you know, clients could be tribal entities. Does that make you proud, or what are you thinking?
There's a myriad of emotions, but proud is most certainly one of them. Something that Res does for you as well, not only do you make the critical connections to other entrepreneurs and other tribes that are walking the same walk that you are and building their economies, but it's a recharging place as well. You work hard day in, day out throughout a year, knowing that you're going to get to come to Res and you're going to get some great ideas from some positive people that are making things happen in Indian country, creating success for tribal enterprises and tribal people, and it's a really strong battery recharge there as well. So it means the world.
And Hoyt, you know, several decades ago, maybe let's go back 50 years, there weren't as many folks probably at a trade show like this. Now that you look around, and I'm seeing that the list equals hundreds of native businesses that are out there or are connected to a tribe, any thoughts on how native business seems to be growing?
Native business is exploding for years, for decades, and certainly for the last few years. We've been talking about the critical need to do business with each other. It's a trade show and a get-together like this that actually makes that happen. And as we work with each other and work together, business is booming in Indian country, and there's dedicated people to keep that trend going. For the last 5 years, as I've come every year, I see the competency of the business leader continuing to improve and to grow and strengthen. So I see nothing but success in Indian country.
And Hoyt, again, if anybody wants to connect with you and your business, where do they find you?
You can find us at a couple different places. Native to Native is our holding company, and we have several different offerings. You can connect with us at www.n2nsolutions-us.com. That's in the letter 2, nsolutions-us.com. Or you can call me directly at 918-791-5509. And I'd be happy to talk to you about what you're doing and see if we can be of value to you and your enterprise.
All right. Thank you for that. And also thanks to Antonia Gonzalez. Antonia, what are people continue to connect with you and NNN's coverage of this?
Well, Tara, there's still a lot of exciting stuff going on here. There's a lot of dynamic sessions. I was just in one this morning where people are looking at economic development by marijuana. You know, that's been in the news. It's been a pretty hot topic. So attendees, it was a packed session, and attendees are there to hear information. One of the panelists was saying that there's a lot of misinformation out there for tribes. So they wanted to, it wasn't a forum, but it was just
we're glad you are there to bring us more of that. We'll tune into the news. We'll be back tomorrow.
Buju, deben dagozi jig, da dange gwene negewag jid de baige sigwa, nananda wiendwa. Gnoje no kijig akuzi vigamigung, gema mawadishuin, healthcare.gov/tribal, gema gnoje 1-800-318-2596. Gaundinagadeg, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.